This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We go to Augusta, Georgia, where Teddy Greenstein, the terrific columnist and reporter for the Chicago Tribune, just got done covering his 11th Masters. Teddy, I appreciate the time, buddy. I'm guessing this might be the most memorable.
Yeah, man, this was awesome. Like, I also covered one of Mickelson's wins, and then Bubba when he hit the gap wedge, hooked around the tree. But this is the one, man. I feel like for people who've covered a lot of them, it's probably Jack in 86 and Tiger in 2019.
So what was Augusta like today?
You know, the whole vibe was obviously so strange because of the time of day. I don't know if you saw what Tiger had said yesterday, but he was waking up between 3:30 and 4 a.m. to get ready for his 9:20 tee time. My God, if I had to do that, I would not be playing golf. Or I guess I would be if I were Tiger Woods, because now I will have won the Masters. But think about that. So for us, normally Sunday is kind of a chill morning, but we all get in there. And I think we're just so curious how it's going to play out. And, you know, for a long time there, it looks like Francesco Molinari. I mean, this guy, I tweeted at one point, like, he's making the par save sexy. He just keeps pouring in those 5, 6, 7 footers, and it looks like it's going to be a boring Sunday. But we should know better, because there are no boring Sundays at the Masters. There's always drama. And the moment Molinari puts that tee shot into Rays Creek on 12, the thought is, like, it's on.
And it really was. I mean, all of a sudden, I had stopped paying attention to him. I wasn't watching the leaderboard on my phone or the side computer. I was just watching the main telecast. All of a sudden, Dustin Johnson had a chance to win.
Dude, I mean, I look up at one point, Patrick Cantlay. I'm like, oh my God, is Patrick Cantlay going to win the Masters? Another 30 minutes later, you know, Xander, as I call him, Shuffle Up and Deal. You'll like that as a poker player. That's what I call his last name. Xander Shuffle Schauffele, I believe. Then I literally look up and I say, what the hell is going on? Dustin Johnson might win this. And I had no idea. He just had like a late birdie binge. And I've covered Masters like this, where this is why you can't go on the golf course as a writer for much of Sunday, because you just miss too much stuff. I mean, aside from the fact that you would miss the joy of just watching the telecast on Sunday, it's like one of the best days of the year, you'd miss too much stuff. So, you know, when Tiger takes command, when he has the two-putt birdie on 15, then he makes the birdie on 16, then it's like, wow, let me get my story ready for the web and let me get out on the golf course. And it was a mass of people like I have never seen around the 18th green. Like, what's weird about it, Danny, is that there's no video board to look at. So if you can't see the green, you're basically just staring at a manual scoreboard, and then you are hearing roars. And a few people are just like jumping up and down, like they're at a concert, like they're just bouncing. So it's just a very, very unusual scene.
Teddy Greenstein covered the Masters today. He's in Augusta for the Chicago Tribune. Yeah, and they paid what, five figures for the privilege of staring at the back of someone's head in a manual scoreboard?
Well, one of the quirks of the Masters is the Sunday ticket is much less expensive, much less valuable than a lot of the other days, because people want to be parked on their couch. So the most expensive days for the Masters are actually, ticket-wise, tend to be Wednesday and Thursday. Wednesday, people want to go to the par three and they want to take pictures. And Thursday, they want to see the full field and they're just so excited to be there because it's been a year.
Okay, so it was a relatively modest get-in.
To so see. They're only paying $2,000 to get in.
Right. So in your column, you called it the greatest comeback in golf history. Many people are calling it the greatest comeback in sports history. Well, let's stick to golf. What's Tiger in competition with in the golf realm of comebacks?
Yeah, I mean, just the two that come to mind, I believe, are Nicklaus in 86 at the Masters. He had been literally written off. You know, it had been a long gap before he'd won. And of course, back in 86, 46 years old. Oh my God, you put this guy out to pasture. I mean, he's about to, you know, he's about to retire and get his Social Security benefits. Now, of course, I mean, Tiger's 43 and can bench press, you know, you, me, and Danny Mac all in, you know, all in one session. So obviously it's different there. And then Ben Hogan. And look, I'm sure for the people who are around after Ben Hogan, you know, almost died in a car accident, saved his wife Valerie, and then 16 months later won the U.S. Open. If Dan Jenkins were still with us, he, I'm sure, would say that Ben Hogan's comeback is better. So those, I think, are the clear top three.
So, yeah, the Ben Hogan one is pretty remarkable. So I've spent the beginning of the show kind of romanticizing it because, you know, Tiger was really meaningful to me. I would have never played golf if it wasn't for Tiger Woods. And long after I'm done playing pickup basketball, I'll still be playing golf, right? It's a way for me and my friends to stay in touch. It's a way to get outside. It's an excuse to travel and get out of the house on a Saturday or Sunday. I mean, he truly has impacted my life in a way that'll hopefully impact it for the next 40 years. You've been around him in the game for a long time. What impact on golf can you say that Tiger Woods has had?
Well, I'm sure he'd be flattered to know that you play golf because of him. Maybe more so it's guys like Tony Finau and Jason Day. You know, so all these guys who are in their kind of 20s or maybe early 30s, that's who they learn golf from. Tony Finau talked about this extensively yesterday. He said, you know, we've learned from Tiger, basically it's that step on the throat. You have no friends on the golf course. You're not rooting for anybody mentality. Tiger, you know, unlike Phil is, you know, thumbs up and high fives and gee whiz and Mr. Social. And Tiger is like an assassin. I mean, his dad taught him, don't trust anybody. His mom taught him, step on their throat. I mean, that's his philosophy. I mean, for years, Tiger never high-fived anybody as he was walking from a green to a tee. But he has changed. I mean, he really is a nicer, more thoughtful, funnier person right now. His, you know, long, long news conference at the media center was excellent. He was funny. I mean, one of his many, many funny lines, he was talking about, somebody said, what's your legacy? And he said, well, one of them is, you know, guys working out, extending their careers, you know, training. He said, back then it was just me and Vijay Singh. He goes, now everybody does it. Even Phil works out. So pretty good line. And it's been nice to see his evolution from, you know, superstar teenagers to, you know, kid in his early 20s to totally troubled, you know, cocky jerk in a lot of ways, but great golfer. And now dad and a guy who everybody can root for, I think.
Handicap his chances at catching and passing Jack Nicklaus. He's at what? He's at 15 and the record's 18?
Yes. I would give him a 15% chance to get to 18 majors. I am still a little skeptical. Here's why. Having been around Augusta this week, that place is so perfect for him. I mean, Danny, how many times did he hit a drive that was way offline, like he's way left on number two, or he's off on number 11, and there's not really a harsh penalty for missing drives at Augusta National. And then the other thing with Tiger is his knowledge and intelligence and game planning is like next level. I wrote a little something, a second story I wrote today that includes what he was explaining about his thought process on the tee shot at number 12, and it's awesome. And he's processing a lot of information. But the point is with Augusta National, he has played so many rounds there, so he knows where to miss it. He knows, you know, the putts, like that putt on 9, that 70-foot putt that
absurd.
He was able to get up there to a foot. You know, he said, like, you cannot go long on that putt. If you go long on that putt, it rolls down the green. So this is his advantage. His advantage is at Augusta National, where he has played, whatever, 90 competitive rounds. It's not at these other courses that he doesn't know that well.
But he's got Bethpage Black and Pebble, right, for the next two.
That's
where
true.
He's won
That's
both.
True. He is absolutely right. He has good results at Bethpage Black. One victory, one T6, obviously Pebble. So I can see where people are going to be, you know, high on him now. It's not to hate on Tiger. I just think there's just so much flipping talent out there that there are just 20, 25, 30 players who can win any of these majors.
I'm with you. I think the math is against him, but he showed that if he's healthy and he tees it up at Augusta, he could break Jack's record and win one at 47, 50. Why not? If he has that much of a mental edge at Augusta, they play 100%. It every year. That, you know, like that's a huge advantage for him.
That's a good bet. You know, if you were going to make a bet right now, over under of a half, another green jacket, I don't know. I maybe would take the over on that one. It suits him so well. He has such a comfort level and so much confidence there that, you know, Thursday you saw him. I mean, he was missing a lot of short putts. I thought that was obviously going to be his downfall, but he played so well today that he didn't really have a lot of, you know, 4 to 10 foot putts.
We're talking to Teddy Greenstein, who's at Augusta, covering his 11th Masters, saw Tiger Woods win his 15th career major today. You mentioned the funny press conference afterwards. A lot of people got emotional on social media and watching around the world with the, you know, the father-son dynamic and juxtaposing it against his hug with Earl Woods back in 97. Jim Nance tried to get him to cry. Did he ever crack? Did he ever get emotional when you saw him?
No. Well, you know what? Like right at the beginning of his press conference a little bit. But the thing is, by the time we get him, it's maybe 30 or 40 minutes later, and we're in like a giant room it's not sterile, but it's like the UN, you know, people talk about when they get in there. So it's not like very intimate. So to answer your question, no. But on that topic, we talked to Bubba Watson right after Tiger came in to the scoring tent. And I asked Bubba, I said, what did you tell him? So he said, Tiger came up to Bubba. Bubba's talking about this. And he said, I haven't cried yet. And Bubba responded, oh, you will. Because I think Tiger said that to Bubba because Bubba is like, you know, the cryest guy on tour. I mean, you know,
he's emotional.
He's extremely emotional. I mean, that's his reputation. So I think that's why Tiger, when he saw Bubba, kind of made that joke to him.
So, I mean, you know, Serena Williams is weighing in, the president's weighing in, all the golfers hang out. You know, was there any crazy behind the scenes? Oh, my God, here's a celebrity watching Tiger Woods. I saw Michael Phelps on 16. What did you see?
Yeah, the only guy I saw who was real, well, two, actually, John Isner, the 6'10" American tennis player, stumbled into him yesterday, and I had covered him at the Laver Cup in Chicago, so we had a nice chit-chat. But Matt Nagy, I believe you're familiar with his work. The Bears coach was out at Augusta National yesterday with his son, and I got to tag along with them a little bit, right about their first time there.
Yeah, man, it's now on my bucket list. I never really wanted to go, but hearing you talk about it and seeing everyone talk about it, it's just like, at some point, I'm going to have to buck up and actually pay to go see this thing, right? You actually say that it's underrated in terms of an event?
Yeah. I mean, as long as you can handle crowds, and then you just got to get lucky weather-wise. I mean, if you have a day where, you know, it's raining two-thirds of the time or it's 92 degrees, you know, it's luck of the draw. But you totally owe it to yourself because there's nothing like it. I mean, you know, there's nothing like the beauty of the place and how everybody's so happy and in a good mood, and then the cell phone ban. I mean, there are just so many things that make it unique.
Teddy Greenstein from the Chicago Tribune, I appreciate you hopping on, man. Safe travels back.
Have a great rest of the show, Danny. Talk to you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.